Is it possible for the tasteless supermarket tomato to undergo a flavor transformation? One that could match the tomato lover's fantasy of a mouthful of lush and succulent fruit? Well, Dr. Elizabeth Baldwin is a horticulturalist and a leader of the USDA's Agricultural Research Service in Fort Pierce, Florida. And she happens to have 10 years of research under her belt. And what she has discovered about this fruit that we all love to love when it's good and love to hate when it tastes like styrofoam is pretty fascinating. Dr. Baldwin, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, now you took 10 years. You've been researching the tomato. Tell me how this began.
Well, there was a University of Florida breeder by the name of Jay Scott, and he said, I really want to get flavor back into my breeding program. Because breeders breed tomatoes for a whole host of horticultural characteristics. I mean, they have to have a plant that is commercially viable, so it has to have good yield and disease resistance. And they do breed for enough sugar, and they breed for size and color, but it's very hard for them to breed for the aroma component, because there's probably 400 aroma volatiles in tomato, of which 20 to 40 probably play a role in the flavor of tomato. And for a breeder to account for all that, they don't have gas chromatographs to measure them. They don't have sensory panels to see how they make the tomato taste. So that's what we do. And so I partnered with this breeder. And we started looking at his advanced lines and selecting them for flavor.
So how do you go about creating a tomato that has all these elements?
Well, in Florida, we have a spring summer season, which is actually in June, and mm-hmm. fall season that's comes November, December. And then down in South Florida, south of Miami, we can get a March season. So we would harvest his tomato breeding lines in these different seasons, and we would actually cut them up and have a consumer panel taste them. Then I would take the same parts of the tomato and grind them up and do chemical analysis for sugars, acids, and aroma volatiles. And then we would select tomatoes that the sensory panelists thought tasted good, and we would look at the chemical components, and then he would try to breed tomatoes that contained these chemical components.
Uh-huh.
Basically, we wanted to increase the fruity floral notes, because volatiles are like a piano, like notes, like a chord. You put several notes together and you get a chord, but you put volatiles together and you get an aroma profile. And so we wanted to put fruity floral notes, increase those, and decrease slightly the green musty notes that are quite prevalent in supermarket tomatoes now.
Now, you mentioned there are three things that can make or break a tomato.
Yes. First and foremost is the genetics. The genetics, or the breeder's genetic profile, it has the flavor potential for a tomato. Then secondly, there's harvest maturity. Tomatoes are a type of fruit or vegetable that can ripen after you harvest it. Another example is a banana. As opposed to a cherry or a grape, you have to harvest those ripe because they don't continue to ripen after you harvest them.
Mm-hmm.
Commercially, in Florida, they harvest the tomatoes green, so they're hard and green. They can make it through the transit chain, perhaps up to New York City, and not arrive as mush. So we talk about harvest maturity, and the more you let it stay on the plant, the better it's going to taste. And then after harvest, we call post-harvest storage. The temperature at which they store the tomatoes can affect the flavor. Basically, if you chill the tomatoes, you decrease their aroma.
But you have to chill it in some way, don't you?
You do have to chill it in some way to slow down the ripening. So you harvest the tomato, say, green.
Right.
You chill it to slow down the ripening, and you can ship it farther and have it arrive intact, although it will damage the flavor. Or you can harvest the tomato with a little bit of color on it, red color, pink
right.
color.
Uh-huh.
Then you know that the ripening process has started inside the fruit. If that happens, then the fruit will ripen with better flavor than if the ripening process has not started.
Ah.
And the only way you can tell that is if there's a little red on the tomato peel. So we call those vine ripe. And we actually, the tomato breeder and I, came up with a release that the University of Florida released, which is called Tasty Lee, and they do try to harvest that vine ripe. They still have to chill to a certain point, but we've tried to convey to the industry that the less you chill, the better the flavor.
If you're going to chill a tomato, what temperature is generally used that's still going to maintain the maximum amount of flavor?
If you chill, say, 70 degrees Fahrenheit, You'll probably be okay, but if you go down to 60, which is what the industry generally does, you start to lose flavor. But if you go down to 40 degrees, like refrigerator temperature, you're
Right.
definitely going to kill the aroma part of the flavor. And so consumers shouldn't put tomatoes in the refrigerator.
Right. You always hear that. So you look for that blush of red, even if you're out in the field and saying, I got to get these puppies in there because I planted too many.
Or planted too many, the
Yeah.
caterpillars are going to get them or whatever.
Right.
And it's usually at what we call the blossom end, which is the stem end is where the tomato's hanging on the tomato
Right.
plant. The opposite end is called the blossom end. That's where the flower was initially. And that's where you'll see the first sign of pinkening or red color coming. And then you'll know that ripening has at least started. The longer the tomato stays on the plant, the better it's going to taste up until about the pink stage. And then it's not so different between pink and red ripe.
Liz, fascinating stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Elizabeth Baldwin is a supervisory research horticulturalist for the U.S. Horticultural Research Laboratory. Head to the website to check out our recipe for sweet and piquant tomato jam, along with a lot of other pretty swell tomato recipes. And you're going to find them all at splendidtable.org.